Now it's time for the Southern Cross with Kendall Hutt.
It is indeed time for the Southern Cross with Kendall Hutt. We also have AT Pacific Media Centre Director David Roby with us today. How are you both?
Good, thank you.
Great, thanks.
Great, good to hear. So David, just to start with, before we get into talking about World Press Freedom Day, just wanted to touch on what do the French elections mean for the Pacific?
Well, the worst nightmare is over. You know, there was the unlikely prospect that Marine Le Pen actually made it through would have been really disastrous for both French Polynesia and New Caledonia because of the aspirations for independence. However, it has to be said that no one's too sure about Macron and what is the new president, how that'll play out. And he made a statement just recently, just before the final round of the election, that New Caledonia should remain French. I don't believe he's made a statement about Tahiti, but there was general apathy in the voting for both, and because you know people in Tahiti and also New Caledonia entitled still to be part of France, mm-hmm. and so they elect members to the national assembly and also take part in the presidential elections and so on. But in both cases, just as there was the worst turnout of for elections in the second round in France in 40 years, there was general apathy in both French Polynesia and New Caledonia as well. So we're still hopeful, and that this new government promising all sorts of changes that Macron was saying that maybe he'll listen. I don't think he knows very much about France and the Pacific, and so hopefully he's going to be open-minded and will learn.
Absolutely. And so moving on now to Press Freedom Day. You have just been in Indonesia for this. Can you talk a bit about what it was like?
Oh yeah, well, I mean, it's one of the most inspiring, I'd say probably the most inspiring conference I've been to. It was a massive, massive, massive turnout. The official figures were something like 1,500 journalists and media educators, policy makers and so on globally from 90 countries, but I think the actual turnout was about a bit smaller than that, about 1,300 or so. But of course the main interest for me was how the Pacific would play out in the region, and even with this massive representation globally, we had two people from New Zealand, Delvinus from the New Zealand Press Council, and I believe three from Australia, and one of those was a human rights and media lawyer, and nobody from the Pacific except, because we regard Timor-Leste as part of the Pacific, and so there's a whole group of really inspired young journalists from right across the board in the media in Timor-Leste, and West Papua was the big issue in the background. But it was sort of the silence about this issue was just absolutely staggering. The organisation of the conference is by the UNESCO, of course. Mm-hmm. They're not going to rock too many boats. And the Indonesian Press Council, and everything was contrived to keep West Papua out of the arena, if you like. Mm-hmm. And many people were saying to me, you know, prominent Indonesian journalists and so on were saying, yes, it looks like we have press freedom in Indonesia, but not in West Papua.
Right. So was there any discussion of West Papua, or was it?
I think if I'm correct, we were the first people to bring it up in a plenary
New
session.
Zealand.
And
they,
right. Well, the Pacific Media Centre specifically, okay. we raised the question, why is there, this was a round table, because many events were happening right through the 4 days. And this was the first round table about journalist freedom in the Southeast Asia, not to mention the Pacific, in the region. So all the panellists were from Asia. And I raised the question, well, how can we talk about the safety of journalists in the region when the most affected region is actually West Papua? To her credit, there was a Asian Forum person was on the panel. She obviously had a immediate report on the mm-hmm. latest situation and so on, and she actually spoke to the plenary about that. But then there was a silence again, and one or two people along the way sort of raised the issues, but everything was happening just outside the arena. Like there was a major protest on Media Freedom Day, and that was covered by Al Jazeera television, and some of the independent news services in Indonesia were covering it. But by and large, you think all these journalists, masses of journalists all from all over the world, and yet there was just a silence.
Yeah, absolutely. And so did you speak at an event about this as well?
That's right. I was one of the three panellists at a public meeting. It was organised parallel to the UNESCO World Press Freedom Day, but they were kept out of the main arena. And that was absolutely quite impressive. There's amazing art, street art, if you like, street theatre at the event, and it was packed out with people. So lots of people came from the main conference to be there, and so I thought it was a real privilege for me to be able to. I was invited to speak there, of course, but it was a privilege to be speaking at this forum, and it was very revealing for me to get a sense of the Papuan, situation from Papuans themselves.
Absolutely, and so what can you just kind of explain for people who aren't quite sure, what is World Press Freedom Day?
Oh, right. Well, that's an event that was actually originally organised by UNESCO, and it's been running pretty well most of the years since the Second World War. And it's the opportunity for global media to get together and talk about media freedom issues all over the world. And on the positive side, there was a declaration called the Jakarta Declaration, which is, I'm actually going to bring the document with me, but anyway, it's got a set of pledges, if you like, and recommendations for countries that are signatory to UNESCO to honour. Also, it's got even recommendations on academic. The few of us who are there, because there's a parallel academic framework as well, and we made a whole lot of recommendations about what research can do about safety of journalists in the region. And they raise all the contemporary issues. It's the one forum like this all over the world. So, yes, very inspiring.
Yeah, absolutely. Did you want to talk a bit about that too, Kendall?
So in terms of what I covered for World Press Freedom Day, we had 30 Timorese journalists, human rights defenders, and a sort of freedom group from Timor-Leste call on UNESCO and other international bodies to prioritise the safety of Indonesian and West Papuan journalists. This was done on the eve of World Press Freedom Day, and as David has mentioned before, absolute silence. Mm-hmm. We had an independent journalist, Jans Wender. He was beaten by police on the eve of World Press Freedom Day, and that pretty much got virtually no coverage except from local media, also the Pacific Media Centre, Radio New Zealand International briefly as well. And Reporters Without Borders issued a statement condemning what they called double dealing for press freedom in Indonesia, because obviously it hosts World Press Freedom Day, but there were sort of calls that it was undeserving in terms of hosting this event, because yes, Indonesia has press freedom, but what about West Papua? And this was sort of the main issue, and it wasn't discussed.
So that's what they mean by double dealing, that they were holding it while not really
discussing
abiding by it.
Press discussing freedom in West Papua, yes, indeed.
Right. Oh, well, I think, what do you see as, obviously, there's no one huge solution that you both know, otherwise that would be happening, because a lot of people would be putting that into place. But what do you think is at least the next step here?
I think
towards press freedom, sorry.
I think President Joko Widodo honouring his pledge back in 2014 to let international media inside West Papua. At the moment, journalists are only allowed in on special visas, and then they're still intimidated and harassed and followed. And that sort of needs to come to an end. And press freedom in West Papua, it has to be free and it has to be followed.
Yes, I'll just add to what Kendall says there, that the hypocrisy of the Indonesians about West Papua and the blatant attempts to sort of gag the issue generally. But we need to also mention the hypocrisy in New Zealand. And New Zealand, I think, has had a shameful position on West Papua for many, many, many years, and has shown very little interest, and could have raised its voice many times. both in terms of freedom for expression in media and so on, but also freedom to make a choice on self-determination in the future in West Papua. That's vital for the region and vital for the security of the region.
Absolutely. Thank you both so much. We'll talk to you again next week.